So this guy came to them. He says, you know, I have in shul now an Olech Hadash from Morocco. He doesn't know to read, no write. And that's the best solution. You don't need anything about level of security because he cannot read anyway. So they said, okay, it's okay, but we have to check it. You know, it's not a game. You know, I'm talking about. So what did they do? They put him in this waiting room intentionally that to the level he's going to get bored. And they put a paper on the thing. So, I mean, you know, we get bored. What is he going to do? Start to read the paper if he knows to read. So suddenly they see when he takes the paper, not like the Yamanite, they know how to read like this, but they knew, he doesn't even know what he's holding, how to hold the paper. He says, okay, that minute they called him in because they realized that he really doesn't know how to read and write. You see, life is funny. And you know, sometimes we say that the reality sometimes extends the fiction. It's unbelievable, you know.
Reality.
He was qualified for the job.
Truth is stranger than fiction.
Yes.
But there's a joke like that.
Yes.
In America, where an immigrant comes and he can't read and write. He goes for an interview to be the shamus of a shul, and they ask him, you know, he can't read and write. You can't be the shamus of the shul. I mean, we need someone who can read and write. So he started to sign his checks with X, that's all. And he evolved into a very, very rich businessman. And all the years, I mean, he had a very good head, but he couldn't read and write, and he signed his checks with an X. So the people said to him, imagine what you could be if you knew how to read and write. He said, yeah, I'd be a shamus. And used Houston Street.
It's like the one who didn't know how to add the numbers. So they said, how did you get a millionaire? He says, I put another thing 10%. For 10 shekels, for 20 shekels. 10%.
And a few zeros.
Yes. So, in other words, if God wants to give you the parnasa, He's going to find a way to give it to you in the best way. And at the end of the day, He's giving us the parnasa. So this is a side story to understand and realize that really, that's the way it works. You need to believe in God. Now, the whole idea is, the minute we are going to understand the importance of us being one nation, and doing things for each other, and doing good from our heart, that is building a mikdash. That's how you're being a mishkan. Otherwise, don't build it. Unfortunately, we all know that the second temple was destroyed because of sinat chinam. And that's exactly the thing. There is no meaning to the stones. We put the meaning in. In other words, if we don't build a mikdash inside us, sanctify ourselves, we don't need the Mishkan. And as we were starting talking about measurements, our parsha is full with measurements. And really, it raises up, what do I need to know it? Especially we're talking about the Mishkan. And there is a whole discussion because in the Mikdash, there were different measurements. So there's this whole discussion, how did they do it? And there is an explanation. So, Ribbono Shel Olam, why do we need all those details in all those...
Yeah.
Measurements.
So the real truth is, we talked about in the past, there's so much to learn, even from the measurements. And before we talk about measurements, one of the things, and every year we talk about it, with all those measurements in the parsha, there's one very important thing that has got no measurements. What is it?
The menorah.
The menorah. You can try and find measurements. By the way, Rashi, you see, not everybody sees it. If you don't know about it, didn't hear about it, you will go to the parsha and you will be sure that there are measurements. Why? Because when you read the Rashi talks about measurements. But the real truth is, if you look at the parsha itself, no measurements at all.
So where did you get the measurements from?
So that's why I say te'aseh, that the menorah was made by itself. It threw this piece of gold into the fire and it was made by itself. By the way, I think in Sefer Dvarim there are measurements. But we're not going to go into it now because we're talking about here. And here there are no measurements. And the question is, if we didn't have measurement of the tools, okay. But if there are so many measurements, why the menorahs got no measurements?
Oh.
And before we go to the menorah, let's see what's happening with the table, the Aron HaEdut, the ark, and the altar. Both altars, by the way. One of them is mentioned in our parsha, the other one is the next parsha. There is something very interesting. When we talk about the ark. We get to the table in a minute.
Okay.
When we talk about the ark,
cherubims. Yeah.
When you talk about the ark, we see the measurements are in pasuk yud, the beginning of the parsha, pasuk yud. Ve'asu Aaron atzei shitim. Got it?
Yeah.
ועשו ארון עצי שיטים. Now look at the measurements. 2.5 אורכו. 2.5. We're talking about amot normally. 2.5 the length. 1.5 the width. And 1.5 the height. Okay?
Okay.
Let's go to the next item, which is the table. And this we're going to find in... in... Kaf Gimel, yes. Kaf Gimel. Ve'asita shulchan. Got it?
Yeah.
Okay. Ve'asita shulchan atzei shitim. Amatai moko. Two. Amot is its length. Its length. One is the width. And 1.5 the height. Okay?
Okay.
Do you see a difference? In when we talk about the ark, it's all the measurements are with half. They are not whole. They are not fulfilled, in other words. In other words, you're talking about 2.5, 1.5, and 1.5.
Yeah,
here in the table, we have two measurements whole and one
and a half.
Like we see here, we have, where is it? Two length, one the width, and 1.5.
So what is the...
1 minute, we're going to the altar, then we come back. The altar is in the end of the parsha, I think.
Yeah.
Perek Kaf Zayin, Pasuk Aleph. Okay? Ve'asita et ha-mizbeach. Atzei shitim, chamesh amot, the altar is 5 amot length, chamesh amot rochav, 5 amot width, ravuaye is square, and 3 the height. What do you see here? All the measurements are full.
Full.
Whole.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now let's understand what is the Torah trying to tell us. What is the ark standing for? For the Torah.
Yeah.
The Torah is inside. The Torah, you can never get to be whole. You cannot get back to fulfill yourself with the Torah because the Torah is endless. There is no end to it. There is always more to learn. So always, whenever you look at the Torah, you have halves because you can never get to the whole because there is no end to learning. That is it when talking about the Torah. The Shulchan is the symbol of, let's say, all the materialistic things in the world. It's parnosa. What do you do on the Shulchan? You eat. Food, parnosa, that's the Shulchan. And the Shulchan, we see, part is whole and part is half. Why? Because from one side, you have to look at yourself. We're talking about parnosa, that you've got all. But from the other side, we all know that we always want more. So that's what the Shulchan is the symbol for. And it's like the same story with Esav and Yaakov. Yaakov gave him a present. And Esav says, I've got, Yesh li rav, I've got plenty. But you know what, if you're getting more, no problem. I'll accept it. Yaakov saying, Yesh li kol, I've got everything. Now, what does he mean he's got everything? What, he's got everything in the world? Nobody gets everything. He got everything he needs. In other words, whatever God gave me, that's what I need. I don't need anymore. So this is the ideal. But we all know that even if we've got what we need, we sometimes act like Esau and we want more. It's something that happens all the day. That's why when we're talking about the shulchan, the table, we have a part of the measurements whole and a part half. Now when we go to the altar, all the measurements are all. Why? Because when I sin, in order to make up for my sin, I bring a sacrifice. In other words, a sacrifice is making me whole again. And when we talk about connection to God, which is the altar, it's whole. That's what we are. We want. That's the best thing to know. That's a whole. In other words, we see here. Oh, 1 minute. Forgot what, no measurements. So yeah, with all the measurements, what? So what do we learn with no measurements? What do we learn from no measurements? For no measurements, we know you cannot measure it. What is the menorah for? The light of the menorah is the light of the Torah. Light of the Torah. The light of the Torah is endless.
Immeasurable.
Immeasurable. Cannot measure it. That's why no measurements. In other words, we just looked now here about measurements. And look what we learn from measurements. Now let's look what can we learn from other things in the parsha. So we start to understand and realize that all those details, they're not really talking about a table, how it's built, and that's it. It's much more than it. Each one of the things that we read is an unbelievable story inside to teach us how to behave, as we always say. For example, the ark is standing for, is standing, you put the Torah in. Who's got the Torah in? A Talmid Chacham. Say the Gemara, Kol Talmid Chacham she'en tocho kevaro, eno Talmid Chacham. Somebody who the inside is not like the outside is not a Talmid Chacham. And what is the proof for this? The Aaron. The Aaron was from inside gold, from outside gold. But it's not 100% true. Because it was built from three boxes. The inside box, gold. The outside box, gold. And in between was a wooden box.
That's right.
So it's not the inside like the outside. So how do we say, how does it go together? So the explanation is very simple. A Talmid Chacham who learns the Torah, he's got the gold inside. So, now what do we do with this? He can say, I'm humble. So, if I'm humble, I keep it for myself. Is it right?
No.
No. You have to show it. That's why, also from the outside, it's gold. But, you're showing off what you've got, you do it in humbleness, which is the wooden box in the middle. Don't forget, you've got the gold inside, you have to show it outside, but how you do it? Like the wood.
With humility.
And this is an unbelievable lesson. From what? The way the ark was built. And if we talk about the ark, we had two figures of kids with wings up. What's the idea? There is this whole discussion when we're talking about the ark. I'm writing about it on Shabbos. Rabbi Yitzhak Bernstein brings this tzatzal. When we look about the ark, we see Vasita Badei Atzei Shitim. No, sorry, go before. Let's go to Pasuk Yud. Perek is Perek Kafchet. I think, let me look again. Let me see. Yes, Kafchet. Or Kafei. What is it?
Kafei.
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 The beginning of Truma. The first Perek of Truma. Go to Pasuk Chet. Pasuk 8.
8?
Yes. ועשו לי מקדש, ושכנתי בתוכם, ככל אשר נראה, we talked about it.
Okay.
And now, ועשו ארון עצי שיטי. Now we're talking about the ark. Mm-hmm. It's built from wood. We talked about the measurements. Yeah. Next פסוק, וציפית אותו זהב טהור, you cover it with gold, מבית ומחוץ, from, as we say, from outside and from inside. ועשית עליו זר שעיר סביב, and you put on it a crown from gold. ויצקת לו, ארבע טבעות זהב, you put four rings that inside yeah, you put... Yes. ונתת על ארבע פעמותיו. Mm-hmm. What is פעמותיו?
פעמותים...
No, it's not פעמותים.
פעמותים. What is the explanation in English, by the way? פעמותיו?
Bells, could it be bells?
No. Feet. Corn? 4 feet thereof.
What is this? No,
putting... put them in the 4 feet... four rings of gold and put it in the 4 feet thereof.
Now, why is the question even raising up? Why? Because it's written already.
Yeah,
it's written, we see that we have tzalot, and we have pa'amotav, and tabaot. What is pa'amotav? So the Ibn Ezra says, pa'amotav cannot, is not a corner. Cannot be a corner because it's written tzalot. If the Torah wanted to tell us about corners, the Torah uses tzalot.
Here's only the four corners.
I'm saying, I know. Yeah, yeah, because that the normal thing it would be al arba pamotav shtei tabot al tzalot echad. It looks like it's continuous.
Yeah.
So in other words, we're talking about the corners.
Yeah.
But Ibn Ezra says it's impossible because if the Torah wanted to talk about corners, he wouldn't use the word pa'amotav.
He would use
pinotav. It's pa'amotav. What is pa'amotav? Mai yafu min alayich pa'amotayich. It's written, "Olech yasim laderech pa'amav." There are a few phrases when you look that it must be a leg, not a corner. Why a leg? Because it's not nice to put the ark, which has the Torah, on the floor without legs. 1 minute. 1 minute. Rav Yitzhak Benchet brings another, I don't remember who it was, and he says, I'm sorry to say that Ibn Ezra is right what he says, but he's not right about what he means. Let's say, maybe what he means, it's not legs, but steps. Because wherever it's written pa'amotav, I don't know how it's called pa'amayim, pa'amei mevaser, it's pa'amotav, ma'yafu, pa'amotayich, but nadiv, something like this. But whenever, when you want to translate it as legs, it doesn't go. But when you want to translate it as steps, then it goes. Because it's not steps means walking. Step by step.
It's like a
plane. That's exactly the problem. We want to understand. No. That's maybe what it is in one aspect. But the idea is, what is the Torah trying to tell us using the word pa'amotav? When we're talking about pa'amotav, it cannot be just the normal explanation that we understand, like legs. Because the phrase pa'amim, pa'amot, pa'amotav, is like moving step by step.
Like
1 minute, let me see.
You have so many explanations. I don't understand where to find what.
Golden born is there. Four places for the states.
What God is there.
Ibn Ezra
is Hash.
And Chazkuni.
Chazkuni.
Are you Googling it?
No, something wrong in my phone. I don't know what to...
Want me to phone you? Mm. That doesn't seem to give it a translation.
I wanted to find the pa'amotav. I cannot find it. It's instead of opening it, it's trying to send it somewhere. So anyway, there are a few psukim that say pa'amotav, and from this we understand that what we're talking about pa'amotav is moving. In other words, when you learn Torah, you cannot stand in a place. You have to move. You have to go to to advance. You have to go and move forwards all the time.
Like the word
pe'imot. Yeah. I've got a few. I don't remember the psukim by heart.
Also,
sorry.
Also legs.
No. Everybody writes legs. But the thing is, pa'amotav, when you look at it, also in the Bible, when you see the psukim using pa'amotav, you will always be translated in a normal way of moving, going, walking, steps.
Maybe fluidity. Step you mean?
Yes, steps like this I mean. Not steps like... Yes.
Passos.
Yes, okay. So we see here also from this that we learn about the Torah, about the way, and what are those two figures of children, white children and not adults. Because again, we're talking about looking up and developing. So that's why you put children that they are developing, they are growing. That's the way the Torah should be. Learning Torah, you should grow all the time and look where? Upwards. That's why the wings are going up. And they look at each other, because as we say always, we're not alone. We are together. So this is a few things to learn just
why from... Why wings?
Knafayim. What do you do with wings? You fly. Yeah. Fly up.
It's also protection.
Yes, and then include... And those are the wings where...
United,
not only united, we're going upwards, not down, upwards, to show us the Torah, you have to move always up. So this is just to look at a few things of our parsha regarding measurements, the way the ark was built, and then there's so much of all the other stuff that we can learn, but... For today, I think that we learned a little about the details, to understand and realize what it's all about.
About this thing that surrounded also was with painted.
This is also
figures. What is the
deal? We're talking about what
the
curtains.
The curtains, well, with figures.
Yeah, figures are the figures of the Merkava. It's something Kabbalah. It's
an animal. Isn't this not, some kind of a problem with the people being with the
You see, the problem is that people don't really understand when God tells you to do something, you do it with no questions, and that's why people don't understand. Because one of the problem is of the Egel. Why did they do the Egel? Because they saw the Kruvim on the ark. So says, what's the problem? God Himself told us to put statues where, in the holiest of holiest places. So what's the problem that we put a statue also and worship it? And that was a big mistake. Because you see, when God tells you to do something, you do it. Because God told you to do it. What's the reason? Why? Here and there? You can ask, but you have to understand that God told you to do it. If God tells you to do it, you do it. But from the other side, God tells you, you know, for example, in especially in Yekes Shul, you had lions on the... There's also a whole discussion about the lions.
Yeah.
So it's not so simple. It's a whole issue. What the symbol is and what you're allowed and what you're not allowed. That's why most of the shuls today don't put any figures at all. No lions and no nothing. But in a lot of shuls it will come and you will see lions there.
Yeah.
So they must know what they did. So... You see, there are things that we don't understand to the end. So we do what our rabbis tell us to do. In more, let's say, in an ancient time, maybe they knew more than we know today about all the secret worlds and things like this. Because lion, eagle, and ox, and man are the figures of the Merkava. That is carry God. Like, this is the Merkava. This is very high stuff. So... We're not going to go into yes. Aryeh, Shor, Venesher, and Adam. Yes, there's four figures that going around the Merkava. We build the Mishkan, as we said, from all our heart, and we do it together. Each one of us with his power that he's got, understand and realize that everything we got is from God, and to be thankful to God and build the Mishkan, we have to do it with love to each other, to God. And that's the only way to build. Otherwise, don't build it. And to understand and realize that it's not the stone, it's not the tent, it's not the material, it's what we put in it. and the way we build it. Bezrat Hashem, when we do it, when we approach, let's say, get a little closer to it, the Beit HaMikdash will come.